Good morning, everybody. He didn't just drop the guitar. It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah. That's how we do it.
Pastor Ben, good to see you this morning.
Hey, Pastor Sheldon, good to see you.
So today we get to let you know, first of all, welcome, because if this is your first time, especially if you were online and this is your first time coming to church, we want to say welcome. We do have a couple of things that we want you to know of so that you're aware of the facilities. We call this place the Fellowship Hall, where you can purchase breakfast. We have our nursery and our, what are the ages on this side? This first to fifth grade. And then our children's ministry and our mini marvels is two to
preschool.
Five.
Yeah, we're there.
And then, of course, our youth ministry is getting there to be up and running.
We have our prayer room also located in the sanctuary. So if you need prayer, you can help go there. And then we have a lot of things coming up because it's that season where a lot of great things are happening. And so we're kicking it off with next week's Saturday, which is April 1st.
We call it Spruce Up Day. Now, Spruce Up Day is just like how when you have guests coming over your home, you spruce up the home because you're going to have people over. Well, during Easter, usually that's the time where many people are invited to come to church. And for some people, that's their first time coming to church. And so we want to prepare God's house for those people that we will be inviting. And for some of you who are online, that probably might be the first time you're going to attend in person. So we spruce up on that Saturday. We begin with breakfast at 7 o'clock, and then we start at 8 o'clock with cleaning everything. And we do a really good deep cleaning. But above all of that, part of the reason why we want to do that is to build relationships with one another, and we have time together, and we get to clean house together. And you might be thinking, but I'm not good at cleaning. Everybody can do something, even if you're like telling people what to do. Some of you are really, really good at telling people what to do, so you can, that can be your job.
Yeah.
Right?
I was just picturing people doing that already. So, yeah. And then also the next day, which is Sunday, it is April 2nd, and it is Palm Sunday. And we love Palm Sunday because we get to celebrate the beginning of our Easter week. But it's also really awesome because our children mm-hmm. are going to be part of the service that Sunday.
They get to present the gospel in the way they know how, with energy, fun, song, and dance. And that's a time where our children, as they learn about Jesus Christ and they grow up knowing about him, that which was planted in them doesn't go away. In fact, that's what the Word of God says. Whatever he has planted in them, that will not return void. It will, like, it's going to accomplish something. So we get to kick off our Easter season with Palm Sunday on the 2nd. And Palm Sunday is us celebrating when Jesus came into Jerusalem the week he was going to be crucified. So we get to learn about what that means and how does that affect us today. And that's going to be April 2nd. And then that Wednesday, April 5th, we have our worship and prayer night.
Yeah, and our worship and prayer night is going to be awesome because as we enter into Easter week and as we just celebrate, we're going to praise our God. We're going to praise the fact that Jesus is still alive. Yeah. He's still doing great things. So it's going to be an awesome night where we get to praise. And we also get to pray also during that time also. And so dinner will be available from 5:15 to 6:15. And then again, it's just another time where we get to come together and just worship our God.
Yeah, we'll be praying even for those who, you know how sometimes you're thinking of going to church, but then you think, I don't know anyone, or I don't know how it's going to be. We're also going to pray for the people who are kind of on the fence about God and just their belief in him, that he would still make a way for people to come to know him, however he's going to do it, because he knows the best way. And so we're going to be praying for that season too. And then come Easter Sunday, which is April 9th. Same service time, 7, 8:30, and 10.
And again, it's going to be another time where we just get to celebrate our resurrection of our King Jesus. So, yeah.
Yeah, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's just a good story. But because Jesus rose from the grave, that changed everything. Everyone dies. But Jesus not only predicted what was going to happen and that he would rise from the grave, he did it for us. He who had no sin became that. He became and took on sin so that when he died for us, that sin was put to death so that you and I can be declared righteous in the sight of God. Like, he took care of our sin because we couldn't. We couldn't be good enough. We're not perfect, but he is, and that perfect death and resurrection allows us access to God himself. And this is an eternal thing. It's not just something that happened in the world. This is an eternal decision. So we get to be a part of that on April 9th. And then following that, April 22nd, is Bloom Brunch. Now, Bloom Brunch is for women of all ages, and this was started by Tiffany on Oahu, Tiffany Thurston Liftikau, that's her full name. And it's so that, the reason why they call it Bloom, it's so that you can bloom where you're planted. And what that means is wherever you are, it's not where you go or what you're trying to accomplish that will make you into the person God made you to be. It's God can move in our lives wherever we are. So you bloom where you're planted. God has something in store for every single one of us. So if you want to register, we have a QR code that you can scan. Also, it's going to begin at 9 o'clock, and Zayo Worship will be doing the worship. And if you don't know who Zayo Worship is, just go on social media, Z-E-O. That's how they spell their name, so Zayo Worship. And it's going to be a phenomenal time. So
yeah, it's going to be awesome for the women to take part
in. Yeah, of all ages. So if you have a niece or, you know, sister, auntie, just invite them, and it's going to be a great time. And I know there is a cost for it, so when you scan in the QR code or go to the information center or our app, then you'll catch all of that. We're good,
sounds
Pastor
good.
Ben?
Yep, sounds good.
Okay, go check your guitar, tighten up the strings or change the strings, whatever you got to do. Oh, we're so glad that we can be a part of what God is doing. And I remember when I first came to church, I came because someone invited me. But it was a different kind of invitation. It was done in this way, because I moved up here from Oahu, and I moved in with my girlfriend and her family. And her dad said this, "You can only move in if you come with us to church." I was like, "I don't want to go to church." And he said, "Well, that's the only way you can move in, because they just started going to church." But then when I came to church, I was like, this is different. Like, the people accepted me, they loved me, and I felt everyone was judging me. I was like, why is everybody staring at me? Why are these people hugging me? What do they want from me? And I was so skeptical until I focused on Jesus. Like, once I fixed my eyes on Jesus, everything was like, it's okay, because we're flawed people. So because we're flawed people and because we're imperfect, we're all going to see each other through that kind of lens, that perspective. But once I fixed my eyes on Jesus and his perspective, then everything was perfectly fine. It didn't matter where I was in life, because God saw me more than where I was. He saw me in who he was making me to be. And he loved me just as I was. So I didn't need to perform for God. And that gave me peace and comfort. And that might be some of you here today. And so when we get to be a part of what God is doing, it's more than just learning. It's really building a relationship with him. We're going to pray over our tithes and offerings, because that's what it's all about. It's what God is doing through all of us and in us. So let's pray. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord God, thank you for giving us this opportunity that we get to give to you. And we give out of our hearts. We give because you first gave to us. And so can you use our finances in the best way you know how, so that more people can come to know you as Lord and Savior. We trust you with it, and we pray over it, and your blessing on these that are giving, and even those that are learning about what it means to give to you. And it's in your name that we pray, Lord. And we all said together, amen. There are these ways to give. Some of you text to give. Some of you give here. We have our tithe boxes in the back and in the fellowship hall. Some of you use the app. But we all get to be a part of something new that God is doing. Every single day, he does something new. In fact, Pastor Kat Konanui is going to share with us today a new hope. But we wanted to find out what you thought our church was all about when you hear the phrase new hope. Like, what do you think it means when you hear new hope? So let's watch this and what some of you said.
Because of his life, you know, in my life, it's a new adventure each and every day. I've been blessed with many gifts and talents, and it is new adventures every day.
Oh, because when we become a new creation in Christ, the newness gives us such hope for the future, and it's a good future because it's with God.
Because, I mean, for the unbelievers that are coming here for the first time, I mean, they've never had hope. And in coming to church, they now have a new hope. For the future in Jesus Christ. And also, you know, I think for someone who's been away for a long time, it can be a renewal of the hope that they had before. So, I think that's probably why we're called New Hope.
Because that's the very idea of who Jesus is. He gives us new hope.
We are called New Hope because as people come here and learn more about Jesus, they receive new hope for their life. Since life without Jesus really isn't a life, but when you accept Jesus into your life, then you have a new hope, a reason for your life.
I can definitely agree with that. And just coming to church not only just gives you a better hope, maybe a better understanding, comprehension, but it gives you a renewal in your life. A renewal in your decision making and just everything that you possibly do in your life.
New Hope, like Star Wars, right, Pastor Ben? No, okay. Pastor Wayne was a big Star Wars fan? No. Okay, so New Hope, man, Christ, you know, God sending Christ as the new hope that we have here on earth, and just spreading that love and that mission and that message of this island and beyond.
The reason why I think we're called New Hope is that everybody doesn't have hope. And we have to remember that something that is new things are not always bad, right? Change is not always bad. So I think that, you know, we're called New Hope because we offer something. We offer something that's new for people. You know, and it's kind of like making friends, right? You come and then you're like, oh, I don't know anybody. I was like that. And then it just so happened that I knew your mom, Pastor Kat, because we worked together, you know, way back in the day. But this place gave me a sense of hope. Like, it gave me a sense of really belonging somewhere and, you know, really feeling that. Just really feeling that God does love me, even though I am not perfect, you know, and I am able now to pass that on to somebody else and create that relationship, you know, with somebody else.
A new church in a hope of God.
So ask the question.
Okay, so Auntie Laurie, why do you think we're called New Hope?
Well, when I think of New Hope, I think of each new day as a new expression of Christ coming into our lives and transforming each new day for His glory. And New Hope is so awesome with the people here. So much aloha, so much connection. And we are all connected together and essentially up with Jesus in our hearts. So I get really excited. I can't wait to get up every new day with New Hope.
Amen. Drop the mic. Okay, bye, you guys. That was the whole message. You know what I love about that video is that it's the church. That's the church. You guys are the church. I wish that I could make a video with each and every one of you saying something, because I know that each and every one of you have a story. Each and every one of you have been through some stuff. And so When we do videos like this, it just speaks about New Hope Church. And basically, I actually got a little bit of insight as to how we got the name New Hope Church. And it was told to me in this way. It says, basically, New Hope would be a place where God could bring His future purpose for good in people's lives, no matter what the circumstances they were in at the time. New Hope would be a way of embracing life, past, present, and future. To believe that God can do anything and we could believe for it. And out of that heart and vision, lives would be refocused and people would embrace God's preferred future for their lives instead of feeling like they just had to live out the lot in life they had been dealt. And then for further inspiration, this person told me they went to Hebrews 11:1 that says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." So basically, assurance rests on God's promises. You know, normally having hope on things that we cannot see is kind of scary. Sometimes you can feel like it's kind of sketchy, but because it's God's promises, we can know that they're worth having faith in. And if you want to know more about our church, about New Hope Church, go to our website. Did you know that we have a mission statement and a whole thing of core values? I didn't know that for like years. I didn't know. I just looked like what was for breakfast. I didn't. I'm being honest, you know, but I didn't know. There's a whole mission statement in there that says basically what we believe. And so it says, welcome to New Hope Church. And then it says, if we could sum up what our church is all about, it would be two things, Jesus and people. Our heart is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in such a way that people would come to know who God is and what he longs to do in their lives. The purpose of New Hope is to present the gospel of Jesus Christ in such a way that turns non-Christians into converts, converts into disciples, and disciples into mature, fruitful leaders who will in turn go into the world and reach others for Christ. If you are a member of our church, and if you're thinking about becoming a member of our church, please know more about the church, right? This is our home church. Like, know more. Like, read up on it. I mean, we're more than just a place with good smoothies and acai bowls and $4 locomocos, you know? It's like, we're so much more, so read more about it. And if we're all on the same mission, it's more awesome. I mean, we're called New Hope. New Hope. We're not called Old Hope. We're not called We Have Hope. So our focus a lot of the times is new people. We're not talking about just young people, because you can be new to knowing Christ and be late in life, right? So we're just talking about new relationships, new believers. And our staff and our volunteers, like, they know that that's our focus. I hope they know, because sometimes I'll be talking to them in the fellowship hall, and mid-sentence, I'll just like see somebody and split, like pew, because, you know, when new people come, they have the look of, like, where do I go? They have that look. So I see that, and mid-sentence, I'll like take off. And they don't get hurt, because they know that that's my heart, is that I'm trying to make the new people feel comfortable, because we know what it's like. You remember what it's like when you first came here? I came from a small church where they just had an organ. That's it. I came into this church and I was intimidated because it's huge, much bigger than the church that I was in. And there was a drum set. I was like, they're singing on microphones? Like, I was blown away. Like, wow. And so people are clapping and dancing. And I'm like, so it can be intimidating. Think about somebody coming to church, period, for the first time. Any church for the first time. It's kind of scary. I mean, when we go to a new job, we start a new job, it's intimidating. Start a new school, new friends, new location, you move to a new city, it's intimidating. New shoes is uncomfortable. We got to break them in, right? And so that's what we're here for. We're here to welcome people, to make them feel welcome. Now, however, if you have been here for more than 5 years, more than 10 years, more than 20 years, more than 30 years, does that make you less important? Nope. All it does is your role switches. So now you are going to be the disciplers.
Me?
Yeah, you. Because now you have the hope of Jesus. Now it's your turn. Like Pastor Sheldon was speaking about this year being the year of discipleship. So we got to ask ourselves, like, who are we investing in? Who are we spending time? Who are we praying for? Because now you have the hope. And there's so many out there that still need to know the Lord. And Jesus came for all, right? We always say that. Jesus came for all. Now are all saved? No. So we got work to do, you guys. We got work to do. So now we can say, okay, well, you know, there's a lot at stake. So New Hope, I get it. Some of us can call this church Renew Hope. Because that's what it was for me. Because I would come, and then I would leave, and then I'd come, and then I would leave. Because I'm stubborn. You know, and it takes a lot for me to learn sometimes. But for some of us, this became our Renew Hope. Like, we already knew the Lord, but we decided to take the steering wheel into our own hands, drive, and go other ways or whatever. But now we're like, no, I need to get back to the Lord. So now you have a new sense of the Lord, a renewed sense of the Lord. And that's all great. I mean, I need a new renewal after each time of helping my granddaughter do math today. You know the math that they're doing, the one that takes a paragraph to add two numbers together? I was helping her do a number line, and I was like, why are you writing in between the just jump, jump? Like, no, she had to, like, describe why. And I was like, Lord, help me get through this. I mean, I got to Google how to help her do her homework sometimes. And she's second grade. I'm like, Lord, renew me because I need hope. I need hope. But basically, there's two kinds of hope, right? There's the Lord's hope, and then everyone else's. Or the world's hope, we can say. And so we're going to take a look at it like this, okay? So forgive if you cannot read my handwriting. So this is hope, right? And what do we hope for in life? There's things that we hope for. So I put it down. I put, okay, well, I want my marriage to be healthy, to be good. I want my kids to be safe and healthy, right? Finances is a good one, right? We hope for good finances. And let's see. Oh, good health, right? We want to be healthy. And, of course, when we die, we hope to go to heaven. Let's go to heaven. Okay? So these are the things that we hope for. These are the things that we may hope for. Your list may look different, but this is what my list looks like. Now, imagine not having the hope of the Lord. Imagine if all these things were up to only you and you had to carry the burden. It was only up to you that your marriage was good, that your kids was safe. You would never let them leave the house if it was only up to you, right? They would never leave the house. If your finances was only up to you, if your good health, come on, we wouldn't eat healthy every day, all day, you guys. It's not only up to us. Imagine if our salvation was only up to us. Now, there's a scary one. But it's not only up to us. It doesn't rely on us. Even worse, imagine if it was up to your spouse or your family for these things to be good. Imagine if it was up to your boss if your finances was good. That's a lot of weight. That's a lot of worry. I see worry, and I see anxiety, and I see even entitlement. Because if we say, oh, yeah, it's up to me. My kids are good because of me. They got talent because I'm talented. You know, it can bring that spirit if we always think that everything is up to us and it's not true. The burden is heavy if we think like that. So in Psalms 146, 3-5, it says, do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Lord their God. So our hope is Jesus. Our hope is Jesus. I like that much better. I like that I can say, Lord, please help my marriage. Lord, please keep my kids safe. Lord, please bless our finances. Lord, please help me not to eat junk food all day. Because if we look at the hope of Jesus, that's our salvation, right? That's how we get to heaven, is through Jesus. In Acts 4:12, it says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved, because Jesus died for our sins. Not our boss, not our spouse, not our friends, not even our family, who, as much as they love us, they didn't die so we could go to heaven. They're not in charge of our salvation. So we set our eyes on him. We set our eyes on him. And how do we do that? Well, you know, We have been given this wonderful tool. I call it my weapon of the Bible. Because when we go to war, we have our Bible. We have our weapon. We have our tools to help us. And you know, for us, a lot of us, to not obsess sometimes to the point where we worry a lot, we have to refocus on Jesus. And so how do we do that? Well, you know, we got to read. In Romans 15:4, it says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, that we might have hope." In the Bible is documents and stories of triumphs, of victories, life learning lessons, what not to do, what could happen, right? And it's all written for us. It's a personal guide. It's our personal guide. And we need to read, learn, absorb. I mean, how much should we invest in our personal relationship with the Lord? How much should we learn about this God who loves us no matter what? How much should we spend time with him, the one who died for my sins so that I can live forever in heaven? How much should I invest in that? I think I should do whatever it takes to learn more and more. And you know, after a while, you may be thinking, oh, well, I've been doing devotions, I've been reading and checking that bookmark and doing SOAP for years and years and years and years. Maybe it's time to change it up. And so I came across this recently. This is our new SALT journal that we have in our resource center in the fellowship hall. I love this. This has given me renewed love spending time with the Lord. And I tell you why, it's thin. But that's not why I love it. Okay. But it's super personal. Okay. Inside, there's a letter from Pastor Sheldon, our pastor. That's why I think it's so special too, because it's our church that did this. You guys did this. So there's a letter from Pastor Sheldon. What I did is I wrote my name up here. So it says, "Kat, well done for investing in," you know what I mean? It's like, he wrote me a letter. He wrote me my personal letter. And then it also tells you how to do, because I've been doing SOAP for over a decade. So I'm always doing the same thing over. So I was like, SALT. Okay, wait, not SOAP, SALT. Okay, what is A for now again? So it has instructions with examples. I need pictures drawn for me sometimes. And I refer back. And you guys, bookmark already in it, y'all. Bookmark already in it. So you don't have to get the bookmark and wait for the new one to come out. It's already in it. So you can keep up. But it's super personal. And I don't know what it is. And I know that it's prayed over and it's been thought through and everything, but doing something different in a different way has given, like, I look forward to it. And my prayer the other day was, Lord, I enjoy you. I enjoy this time together. And I honestly, I haven't prayed that prayer during devotions in a while, where I was like, I'm just loving this time together. I'm enjoying myself. So you got to do what you got to do to renew that. I mean, whether it's studying with people, studying without people, if all this time you've been with people, study in a small group, study in a big group. You know, just renew, what, do whatever it takes to renew that fire again. Because that's how we can focus on him, on Jesus, and remembering that he is our hope. So many times I'm in there and I'm just like, oh my gosh, okay, focus on Jesus. Like literally in my marriage, Jesus, please come down here and sit right between me and my husband because we're being ridiculous right now. I said we because I want to be nice. Like, Lord, please. And silence me because I want to. So Jesus, I focus on him, and then he comes into my marriage, you know? I think, okay, Lord, my kids, they're out doing this, they're out, you know, hiking or whatever. Please keep them safe, because I'm not there with them 24/7. Lord, please bless our finances. Thank you for blessing my husband with a job, for me with a job. Thank you. Please continue to bless us, because it's not up to us. It's really up to him. He blesses us with that. And then when I think about good health, I always think, okay, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus be eating french fries and milkshakes every day if he wanted good health? No. He could, because he's the Lord. But I got to think, okay, I got to be smarter about this. So if we focus on the Lord, it makes it so much easier. Because when all this, if all these things were to be upside down, taken away, if we still have the hope in Jesus and we have this, it makes it survivable, doesn't it? It makes it worth it. So even with all that, we come to our second point, which is we walk in the hope of the Lord. Because it takes a lot for us to first believe, but now we need to step out in faith and walk in the hope of the Lord. Walk in it. In Romans 15:13, it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Holy Spirit led, Holy Spirit filled, walking completely in the hope of the Lord, living it out, utilizing the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the free gift that we've been given in Jesus Christ. If we don't use this gift, it's not a gift. I mean, how many of you have gift cards that you haven't used? Right, it's taking up room. It's just cards. It's not a true gift until you use it. Other than that, it's just a card. Sometimes you can look at a card, you can't tell if it's empty or if there's a full balance on it because it's just a card. It's when you use it, that's when it becomes a gift. And so for all of us, we need to walk in it. And we have the hope of life eternal. So we need to live according to that hope. Now we have this flux capacitor back here. That's what this is. Some of you are like, what is that thing behind her? Like, I didn't come last week. Did I miss something? What is this? Is it a shower? You know, it's a flux capacitor. For those of you who know the movie Back to the Future, this is what Marty McFly used to go back to the future, or part of it. This is actually a giant blown up one that our drummer Keeney and our guitarist Leroy made. So anyway, because we're celebrating our 42nd anniversary, and so we were like going back in time. We were thinking, okay, well, let's look back. What happened 42 years ago? What was going on? And so I was thinking, wouldn't it be fun to go back into the past, not the future, back to the past, and check out what some people looked like or was doing, maybe not 42 years ago, but years ago. So let's take a look at somebody. Oh, look at that cute. Who is this cute, lovely person? Pastor Bunny. Look at her dimples. So cute. Okay. Oh my goodness. Who is that cute? Pastor Jonathan. Some people thought it was Pastor Sheldon. I heard you guys. Good guess though. Good guess. Okay. Who's that? You guys know Pastor Ben. I had to show too. Look at that. Look at the mullet. And he still looks like that. He still looks like that. Okay, who's this? Pastor Lynn. Who's that on the phone? Talk. She's still talk. Pastor Marsha! That's why she's so good at talking with people. Okay, who's this? No mess with her. Pastor Pauline! Hey, that's why we call her the OG, original gangsta. Yeah? Who's this Kolohe-looking kid? Who is this? That's Pastor Sheldon. He looked so innocent, yeah, back then. Look at him. Okay. Well, too bad. I don't have any pictures of me, so, you know, don't have any. All right, you can take it down. A lot of my childhood pictures are with my mouth open. It must have been lunchtime. I don't know what it was. But these are people that a long time ago, even when they were that young, God was calling to ministry. Can you believe that? That he had a plan and a future and a hope for those people, even at that age, before that age. And they said yes, and they walked in the hope. Now, you don't have to be a pastor to walk in the hope. You can still pastor. You can still love on people. You can still show grace and kindness to people and welcome people. You can still forgive people. And you can overcome obstacles. When you walk in your hope of Jesus, you can overcome any obstacle. Now remember what we said about the vision behind the name New Hope Church? The lives would be refocused and people would embrace God's preferred future for their lives instead of saying, this is it. This is what I've been dealt. These are the cards that I've been dealt. Junk, but well, no. These people did not have perfect lives, right? We don't have perfect lives. We still don't. But we walk in God's hope, and it's not easy, but it's possible. It's so possible. It may seem impossible sometimes, but it's possible. And all things are possible with the Lord. Remember the story about the rich young guy who went and said, Jesus, Lord, let me follow you. Let me follow you. I followed all the commandments. I don't sin. I don't do this. I don't do that. I honor my parents, all that. And so the Lord said, okay, well, sell all your things and come follow me. And what happened? He was sad because he was wealthy and he walked away. And the Lord said to the disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter heaven. And so we go to Matthew 19, 25 through 26, and it says, when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Do you know why? This is like my go-to scripture. With God, all things are possible. You know why? Because when times are hard and we go through it, we can say, with God, all things are possible. And for some of you, maybe somebody may be sitting here, you might be thinking, well, this hasn't happened yet. Or I'm going through something right now. Like maybe you've lost someone you love too soon. Maybe your finances are in bad shape right now. Maybe your health, you've been praying and praying for these things to change and it hasn't happened yet. Well, someone whom I love and respect and is really gifted in managerial skills and really good with people, motivating people, he works with, told me recently, and I quote, do not worry about failure, be excited for success. Really wise guy, and I will only say this once, this wise person is my husband who said it. Now, that's not the only time I say it. I just joke with him all the time, but yeah, I was talking about something, and he says, do not worry about failure. Be excited for success. And I was like, I'm going to write that down. I'm going to write that. That is so good. Who said that? And he goes, me. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, no, for real. I just came up with that myself. And I'm like, mark this in my calendar. My husband said something awesome, you know. And I wrote that down, and I was like, wow. So while you're waiting on a prayer, while you are starting to worry, just remember, Jesus is on your side. Jesus is for you. So don't settle for the life that you've been dealt. Embrace God's preferred future, God's success story for you. Not just in this temporary world, but for our eternal success story. Our eternal success story is heaven. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. My dad used to tell me when I was young, you know, heaven is forever, forever and ever and ever. Like forever never ends. And I'm like, okay, I'll go to church, I promise. You know, it's like eternal. Forever and ever and ever. So God's success story is for you. And I know you're thinking, well, you know, this, we're living in this world now. It's hard today. Things are not going good right now. Just remember to hang on to God's hope because he overcame the world. Right? In John 16, 33, it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Can we say that together? I have overcome the world. He didn't say you might have trouble. He said, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. He overcame death. So next week, we're going to be celebrating. We're going to kick off Easter week with Palm Sunday. We're celebrating not that we hope he dies for our sins. We hope he rises again. He did. So he is victorious. He has overcome the world. So we can hang on to God's hope. And also our third point, our last point, is that we need to embrace the power of God's hope. The power of God's hope. How important do you think hope is? It's super important. I was reading this article on this Johns Hopkins University research they did, and Professor Kurt Richter in the 1950s experimented with rats. Some of you read this story or heard about it, but he took domesticated rats, if there's such a thing, and wild rats, and he dropped them in water. And although the wild rats were considered better swimmers, the wild rats died much faster than the domesticated rats. And the theory was that the domesticated rats, maybe they've had some kind of help, leverage, maybe they were fed, maybe, you know, something. And so they took it a little further, and what they did was the rats would be drowning, and then right before the rat would go under, he'd pick it up and lift it up, and then he'd drop it back in the water again. The difference between minutes became like 60 hours. And what was the difference? Hope. The power of hope. Knowing that maybe I'll get help again. And I know that rats and humans were different species, but sometimes it can feel like that, yeah? That we're drowning. That we're swimming in circles. That we need help. That we need hope. The power of the hope in Jesus. Jesus. Jesus will not just pick us up and then drop us back. His hope is not just temporary. It's in a temporary world we live in, but Jesus' hope is for eternity in heaven. That's the hope that we cling to. That's the hope that can help us just keep swimming. You know, I had to stick that one in, right? But because we have that hope, we can. But what if God's not real? How do you know, Kat? How do you know that God is real? Every once in a while, especially during some bad times, we as Christians even have that flicker, yeah, of doubt. But I know God is real. This is not just stories we talk about. God is real. And you know how I know? Because I see him. We see him. I took this when we went on an overnighter, and I saw that, and I was looking at this, and I was like, God, how can anybody that sees this not believe in you? Look at how gorgeous the colors. Who is the author of perfection? And our last picture, right? Mauna Loa. How can you look at that and not believe that there's a God? And you know what's better than that? Is that he loves you. He loves each and every one of you. And he is for you. And he wants you for eternity. That's hope. That's eternal hope in Jesus. Amen? Oh, and the last point I have is not on the thing, but here's another one. We should share hope. Invite somebody to church, whether it's to our Palm Sunday, Easter Sundays, whether it's to that Bloom conference for women that we talk about. Invite them. Invite them and share the hope of the Lord, especially if you feel like they could use the hope of Jesus, all right? So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time together as a church family, brothers and sisters. We thank you for the hope that you have given us in you, Lord. We thank you that you love us that much, that you love us no matter what, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, and continue to do, because we're human, we still make mistakes today. But you continue to be there on our side. Thank you, Lord. And if there's somebody new today, Lord, somebody that says, I want that. I want this new hope. I want to renew my hope. It's been so long and I don't even know. But I want to accept you into my life, Jesus. So let's say this prayer together. And I'll say it and you repeat after me, okay? Heavenly Father, Thank you for Jesus. I believe in you, Lord, that you died for my sins and that you rose again. And I will follow you because I have a new hope in you, Lord. In your precious name we pray. Now, if that's you, raise your hand with your eyes closed still. Just, you can raise your hand online, you can raise it, or you can say, that's me, I believe. Because we're going to pray over you right now. Heavenly Father, you see the hands that are raised. You know their hearts. Please bless each and every person with their hand raised. Bless each person that needs a renewal in you, Lord. Strengthen them. Renew their love for you. Make them bold and courageous. Make them kind, forgiving, loving. Make them strong in you, Lord. And most of all, make them hopeful in your love. In your precious name we pray, and we all say together, amen. Amen. Well, I hope that you have a wonderful day today and the rest of your week. We'll see you Wednesday night or next week, Sunday, for Palm Sunday. Take care. God bless. See you guys. Bye.